In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, the scripture says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." On Wednesday nights, we're undertaking a study, growing up in our Lord, and those who are young in the faith, those who are middle-aged in the faith, those who are older in the faith, we need to grow up in our Lord. We need to be growing, and that's what our Lord expects. We need to be fruit bearers. And so to be able to know how to bear fruit, we in this way that the Lord has left us, it's old man and new man. The new man just doesn't get the word of the Lord by osmosis. It takes the old man, as we've looked at here in recent times, within a few months ago, we took a look that it takes the old man to do anything for the new man in this world physically. It takes the old man to take this Bible and open it up and read it. It takes the old man to take the Bible CD, put it in the player or the MP3 file on the phone or whatever it is, to take and select it and turn it on and listen to the Word of God. It takes our bodies to get the new man to church services. And it takes your body to be able to study the Word of God. So you understand where we're at. The old man needs to be mortified. He needs to be brought subject to the things of God. The old man is not saved. It's the new man that is the Spirit of God living within. And so we must do these things physically that we might grow the new man, and all the intellect and all of that is tied together with the new man that is saved and is the Spirit of God living within. Are you saved? Do you have the Spirit of God living within? Well, you've got commands and direction from our Lord about what to pursue and how to grow, especially we who have been blessed to be in our Lord's church. So for a newborn, one of the things that we're taking a look at is that of the church. And we've been talking about pastors. We want to wrap up a little section on that and then continue on into other things about the Lord's church. The Lord did build his church, and he made that institution in the stead of, and it's not a replacement kind of thing. It's just what's appropriate by God's design for the time. Our Lord Jesus built his church because he went to his nation and took away the keys of the kingdom of God, took away the oracle of God, and gave it to his New Testament church. That's the age in which we live. And so, in the institution at hand in the world, where you can find out about God and find out about his word and find out what's, if you will, pardon me, I'm afraid it's going to be one of those nights. Find out about what God says to mankind, and then what mankind is responsible for. And the nation of Israel had that with the Word of God that came from him, and now his church is going worldwide with this commission and the Word of God to be a witness unto mankind about what God expects. And so, So in the church, there is leadership, and there is that of the under-shepherd, the pastor. You know, the pastor, as we mentioned last time, has got to gain honor, got to gain respect, but yet that needs to also be given. If it is due, members need to do so. And I know this is self-serving, and I hate that aspect of it, but we've got to be taught, and we need to understand how that is. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's no other thing to do but go to the Word of God and in these things. And last Sunday afternoon a week ago, and then Wednesday a week ago, I ask you and I plead for you for your prayers. I need your prayers to be able to fill this calling of the Lord. I'm a human. I'm a human with garments on like you. And that's an expression that we've heard in our family. I'm a person. I'm a people, just like you. And so I need your help from the Lord to be able to fill this office. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, here's what the brother, the apostle, writes, the Lord gives, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you what? The Word of God. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And so I'm thankful for Olmsted Baptist Church. You do look to and pursue this, and you pray for me that I would be about what the Lord has given me to do as your pastor, and I would be a good pastor, pleasing to the Lord, and a good pastor to you and your family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 17. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So if there is a man, and it's very clear, some may have doubt about this counted worthy of double honor, verse number 18 makes it clear, a pastor that's doing what's right and pursuing being an instructor, a teacher, a preacher of the Word of God, living that right example and following the Word of God, is worth double pay. That's what that means. Now, I'm not telling you I need a raise, but that's what it says. That's what that is talking about. Worth double pay. Listen, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now, I always chuckle when I read that verse, because it could be said even about me that Brother Jim, sometimes he behaves like an ox. And the thing is, don't need to be that way. Sometimes we need to be steadfast and stubborn in the things that are the Lord's. But the men of God are not to be like oxen. And it says there, the laborer is worthy of his reward. So that of the one that is hired to do a job, they're worthy of being paid and taken care of. And so is from the commandment of the Lord that the ox shouldn't be muzzled as he's required to work and mill out the corn. So I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful to the church for the way that you do regarding this. This is a blessing of Olmsted Baptist Church. Recent times we've talked about struggles in other churches that the men of God, the pastors, have there. It's not the case here, and so I'm thankful for the Lord's blessing upon us that way. I want to mention also that, we saw in the qualifications that a man must rule his own house well, because how can he take care of the church of God? And so in that, remember to pray also for the pastor's wife. You know, you get the pastor's wife just by default. And a wife can make or break a man's ministry. And I'm so thankful for my wife, Clarissa. She's been supportive of everything that I've said and believe that the Lord has called me to do. And she is a contributor and one that has a desire to the things of God and what's good. Sometimes the pastor's wife is looked at as the associate pastor. She's not. She is not. The church didn't call her. You just get her. All right? You just get her. You just get her. And the thing is she's a help. Understand, ladies, you look to her for leadership and things, and that's fine if she's willing to take it, but she's not required to do that. It's not a thing that is to be foisted upon her. Maybe in some things, in support of the ministry, it would be good for her to do so, and she could. But she's not the associate pastor. And if you've got something that you need to tell me, I'll tell you this, come tell me. Don't tell her. We're married, and she's my wife, but she's not the messenger of things that need to be addressed to me as the pastor. If you need counsel from the standpoint of being a woman, and you think that she is immersed enough in the Word of God to give you an opinion about the Word of God, then you can go to her, just like you can go to your other sisters in the church, in that same way. But remember to pray for the pastor's wife. And also pray for the pastor's children. There can be, and I've not felt this amongst the church that's at hand now, that there's overborn scrutiny upon my children. Some feel that. And the thing is, maybe the reason some feel that is that that thing about ruling, having children in subjection with all gravity or honesty. That's what we've tried to pursue. I'm not patting myself on the back. But if I seek for my children to behave the same everywhere, we won't have to worry about the scrutiny. And thank you for praying for my wife and for my children. They are connected to my ministry, and they've been very helpful and supportive of my ministry here. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. It's the Lord's good blessing upon us all. Next, we want to take a look, Acts chapter 6, we want to take a look that the church, the Lord's churches, make decisions. We don't make laws. We've got the command and the guideline and the word of God from our Lord, and we follow it. We seek to follow it. We seek to take it and apply that. And in this day, brothers and sisters, you know well, some of you that have been here know well, that people don't want the word of God applied to them. And you know what? It's best if you and I submit to what the word of God says so we don't have to get anybody else involved. It's not good to get the Lord involved. It's not good to get the church involved. It's not. We need to follow the Lord's word ourselves, and we need to follow the Lord's word as his church. But there are decisions, and there's things that we have to take the example and those direct things in the Scripture, those indirect things that we can get by principle in the Scripture, the spirit of things, and apply that as we go along. We don't have a hierarchy to answer to. We've got our Lord to answer to. We don't have another church or association missionary. Do you understand about the association? I'll take this time to talk about the association missionary for a second. There are denominations that have representatives from headquarters, and they circulate amongst the churches or groups of a particular organization, a denomination. And you know what they do? They keep an eye. They keep an eye on what's going on in churches. And I know brethren and that have had direct issue with the operation like this. A church will begin to go away other than what the overarching organization wants them to do. They want to follow the word of God. And the organization says, no, 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 no. We hold your notes for your building. You do that and we'll call the note. See, understand, in the days of the Soviet Union, and I imagine it's still this way, along with every army, along with every submarine, along with every ship, along with every group of soldiers, there was always this one or two persons that were with that group that kept an eye on them. The political agent. The political agent had nothing to do with the battalion, the group, the regiment, whatever. And that had nothing to do with the submarine. The captain had no authority over them other than for safety and such as that. And they watched and they listened to what was going on. And you know what? When they saw something was out of the way, you know what they did? They reported to Moscow. There are those groups today that work that same way, and that is not the work of the Lord. It is not the work of the Lord to have a political agent among the churches to make sure that they toe the line, not in doctrine, but according to what the organization says that they should operate under, the association or the convention or whatever. And so churches are to be autonomous. That's the example we see in the Scripture, and we'll take a look at that. Churches make decisions. Look here in Acts chapter 6. We'll read at verse number 1, and listen to what the Scripture says here. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, these different ethnicities there in the church, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude, that is the apostles, the transition team, because they understand the church was in its infancy, only 3 years old or so, the time of our Lord's ministry and these days afterward that we come to this chapter. And so the apostles were there to have that directive. Having followed in the ministry of the Lord Jesus all the time of that, they were the ones that were there to help in that transition, to get the church understanding and operating truly in the things that Jesus had given. The 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. And did you notice that? They called the church together. Not had a meeting amongst themselves, but they called every disciple together. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, take care of these widows, which needed to be taken care of. This was a real issue. And this isn't a thing. This isn't a thing where the apostles are saying, fellas, this work is below us. They're not saying that. They're saying our calling as apostles is to be about the Old Testament scriptures and prayer, understanding from the Lord how we're to proceed and go forward in this thing. And so he says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. They were to be spiritual men, not prominent men, but spiritual men. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose, who's the they? The church. The church chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and so the word of God increased. And so this laying on of hands is this public sanctioning of these men that they meet the qualifications that we gave you. And did you understand that? They were to be spiritual men, full of the Holy Spirit of God, to be able to take care of the ministration of the widows, a very physical thing. See, they weren't looking for the best restaurant owners, although some of them may have been. They weren't looking for the fellows that dealt in produce and food and such as that and had connections. They looked for men that were spiritual, because you know what? The Lord will shake out all the rest. He'll take care of all the rest. And so the church here, not the apostles, the apostles understood what needed to be done, but the church chose these first seven deacons. In chapter 1 of Acts, we see here in verse number 15, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the numbers of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. They found a passage which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, the silver, the 30 pieces of silver he cast back at the there in the tabernacle to the elders that had paid him, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all that dwell in Jerusalem, insomuch that as that field is called in their proper tongue, Alsadema, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms. See, they were studying. They were looking in the Word. The Lord had shown them and taught. So we don't need the Old Testament. I tell you what, Jesus used the Old Testament. You know what? And I tell you what, at the nursing home for the last year and a half, we've seen how the Old Testament alone speaks of Christ. I mean, it's a whole series of messages there, foreshadowing and telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And so that they were given to that. They found this passage and said, it's written, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. Verse 21, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, that's all the way back to John the Baptist, beginning from the baptism of John, they had to have that, under the same day that he was taken up from us to the ascension of our Lord, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they pray. So the apostles charge the church to do this, give them the qualifications for it, and not the apostles, but the church choose these two. And they pray. and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go into his own place. And they gave forth their lots, their vote, however it was that they did it, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Churches make decisions. And you know what? They're important decisions. The decisions that we have to make, from the smallest thing that we do to what we would deem the greatest thing that we do, we need to seek the Lord's will about it. We need to be praying always that the Lord would help us in every way. And so we see here what preceded the vote of the whole church in electing a successor to Judas. Prayer. Prayer. May we immerse all the affairs of our church and our lives and our families in prayer and petition to God. He says, listen, look how it says here. And they prayed, verse 24, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Do we want to go a way that is our own way? Or do we want to be obedient to our Lord and what our Lord wants Olmsted Baptist Church to do? Let us be praying. And I know that we pray for leadership and that the Lord to guide, direct, and lead us. But I tell you what, we need to also pray that the Lord would give us understanding of His leadership. He is leading. He's promised He'll never leave us or forsake us, personally and as His church. He'll be with us to the end of the age. He'll be with us to the end, till the time that He takes us out of here. So He's leading. May we hear and get on the right frequency, if you will, for what His leadership is. In Matthew chapter 18, let's take a look here. The highest decision-making body in spiritual affairs in the world. Matthew 18. You can read historically about different groups and the different councils that they would have and powwows and such as that. And they look to the scriptures and thinking that that role, the role of the apostles, continues on. I think that that's part of the fallacy that they fall in, is that they believe that that of the apostles continues on, and someone needs to be in that parallel office or even in that same office to make decisions for the church. And we see here in the scriptures the apostles pointed out issues, but they didn't make decisions for the church. So what is the highest decision-making body? Quickly here, our Lord tells about how it's to be in the church, verse 15 and 16. Verse 17, it tells about conflict and how we're to resolve conflict in the church. Moreover, verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee to one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, verse 17, tell it to the church, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. I'm going to cough in that microphone. What's that saying, being a heathen man and a publican, unsaved? That's what it's talking about. If he won't listen to what the church says, I'm not going to do what the church tells me. I tell you what, you better watch out. You know what? I better watch out. All of us better watch out. If the church says that this is the answer and this is the truth and this is the way this thing should be, judgment about the issue from the Word of God, we do well to abide by it. Because listen to what's going on. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three, this verse is misconstrued, the topic is about the Lord's church, this is how small they can get. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We've known some brethren that when they went on the mission field or even churches here in the States that would dwindle down just even to family members. It's happened. It's happened over the centuries. Brother Duvall that was just with us, he and I were talking about how it was in the Dark Ages and how that was where the saints and the people of the Lord were on the run. And some of them just had family churches. It was just that way because of the oppression and persecution. Listen, if it's bound on earth, it's bound in heaven. The Lord gives authority. Well, I know where a church didn't do something right. You know what? You're right. It happens. You know why? Because churches are made up of people. But the design is that the church be spiritual and look to the Word of God and obey the Lord in it and judge righteous judgment. I thought we weren't supposed to judge. Well, I'll tell you what, we're supposed to judge according to what our Lord's given us. Not my opinion, not your opinion, but what the Lord gives us. And so, did you hear anything about a headquarters here? Did you hear anything about some kind of convention? A board of directors? A board of governors? A board of bishops? No, we see here the church, the Lord's church, and dealing with this matter of conflict. And so we see that the church, the Lord's churches, do make decisions. Here also in verse number 18, we've touched on that. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Our Lord does not overrule or not honor the authority given to his churches. Ooh, wow, man, we've got some power. I tell you what, better be humbled by it. Not thinking about being domineering over people. The Lord hates Nicolaitism. Niko, Greek prefix, means to dominate. Laity, the people. He hates that. The pastor is to be a leader. He's got some oversight and some responsibility. He does have a rule as far as what the Word of God says in that word, a leadership there. He is responsible to the church, and the church, if he's following the Lord and the Word of God, is responsible to him. But you know what? The pastor's not to be a people manipulator. And the people of God, we're not to be people manipulators, because God hates people manipulation. God loves honesty. God loves his word going out and the truth of his word going out. And us being one person. So, decisions of a church are ratified in heaven, are they not? Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose shall be loosed in heaven. Who's saying these words? Our Lord Jesus. He does that. You know, sometimes churches make bad decisions. You know, we've seen that. We've seen that. Any decision that we make has got to be based on fact. It can never be based on hearsay, right? Never can be based on hearsay. It's got to be based on fact. And when we make decisions, weighty decisions regarding members and such as that, and you know, which is the most serious thing, I believe. I mean, we need to follow the doctrine of our Lord and the pursuit of our Lord, the commission of our Lord. But the greatest ranging, those things can have far-ranging impact. But you know what? This personal issue of dealing with people is very, very touchy and very, very sensitive, isn't it? And when we do so, we got to do it right. May our Lord help us to do it right. But you know, the Lord doesn't overrule what churches do. Sometimes churches make mistakes. And when churches make mistakes and they come to know it, they need to repent of it, just like people. And but we need to know that our Lord backs up the decision of his churches. We've got a great need to be filled with the Spirit of God, don't we? And be filled with the Word of God. And so may our Lord help us in these things. Church, be careful how we use this authority. All right, next we want to take a look at here the independence of this institution of the Lord's church. In Acts chapter 15, in Acts chapter 15, and I'm not seeing that until a recent study and consideration about this in the wording, okay, in the wording here. Up in Antioch, there in the church that is there, and understand the first missionary journey of Paul and his he being in the ministry along with Barnabas, they've been in the ministry. Barnabas has been in the ministry from the days of the church, the first church being the only church at Jerusalem. So we're talking maybe even a couple decades. The first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul has been completed, okay? And now there's folks from Judea, men from Judea that come to Antioch and say, and you Gentiles have got to be circumcised or you're just not saved. You're not getting it completed if you're not circumcised. So what happened? Well, there's a contingent sent from Antioch back to Jerusalem. Why? They're going there to counsel with those apostles that are there. Okay, that's what's at hand. They're there to counsel with the apostles. They are also dealing with the church there at Jerusalem. And so they lay this out before them. Verse number 5, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, it is needful to circumcise them, the Gentiles, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So they wanted to be Judaizers also. And when this is what this is talking about, it's not talking about that which is moral. Everybody gets it about the moral thing, right? But they want them to sacrifice stuff. They want them to keep this and keep that and keep the other. That's what that's talking about, keeping the law of Moses. And so they come together, the apostles, verse 6, and elders came together for to consider the matter. So the pastors are also involved, seemingly there. And so Peter tells about how it was with the Gentiles in Caesarea, right, where in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius's house, okay? And so he testifies about that. He says in verse number 10, don't tempt God, put a yoke upon the neck of these men that we could, our fathers, our daddies, and we could not bear, okay? And so listen to how this goes here. Verse 12, and all the multitude kept silence and gave all audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring the miracles and wonders which God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they held their peace, James, this is James the Less, an apostle, because James, John's brother, has already been beheaded or killed, martyred. Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So we understand the Lord's going to save the Gentiles. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. So he makes a reference there. See how the word of God keeps coming up? Old Testament reference. Amos chapter 9. And so he talks, verse 18, God knows this. Verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is, he says, what I believe we should do, that we trouble not them which are from among the Gentiles or turn to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and fornication and from things strangled and from blood. So stay away from that. Fornication, being promiscuous, as was all the heathen religions of that day, and stay away from things sacrificed to idols and things that are strangled and from drinking blood, taking meat directly with blood and drinking of blood. And then, so they heard that, verse 22, then pleased it that the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. So they're going to send some fellows back, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are in the Gentiles of Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, preaching something false, saying you must be circumcised to keep the law and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, we didn't send them. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus. So they recommend them. They're interested in nothing but the ministry of the Lord. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Do you hear the apostles, do you hear the church at Jerusalem commanding them to do anything? They're laying it out before them what the Word of God and what they get from the leadership of the Lord is. See that? It's not a command. Because see, this is one church, and granted it is the apostles, dealing with another church. I believe, I'm of the understanding that they say, you sent down here to get our recommendation and what we think about it and that, which was good to do, because these men had gone with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were others that were there that had learned up until this time, and they gave them what they believed the Lord would have them to do. They didn't require it of them. They didn't dictate it to them. They didn't command. We didn't see the word command. He said, you need to abstain from fornication. You know, that's what a pastor does. The Word of God says, you need to abstain from fornication. The pastor can't say, I command you to abstain from fornication. But you know what? This spiritual work with the leadership of the Spirit of for those who are saved, you know, when the Word of God comes out and is brought to our attention, a child of God will grab it and say, you know, yes. That's the testimony of the Lord. See, if you do what you do just to keep me pleased, we've missed the whole thing. I've missed it in being your pastor and conveying what it's all about, and you've missed it in understanding what it's all about, to obey our Lord and to be a good witness unto him, of him, and to be thankful unto him, and to follow him, and to walk with him, and to love him, and to enjoy him. And so I find that interesting here. Even this first church is not domineering over another church. They're asked for their opinion. Understand how it went. Antioch came to them. Jerusalem didn't go to Antioch. Antioch came to them. You know what? We have no business in the affairs of other churches. We have to make decisions and judgments when things that other churches have done engage what we need to do or have to do. But otherwise, Sunny View Baptist Church, Faith Baptist Church, Julian Baptist Church, their business is not our business. Our business is our business. We've got more than we can do just take care of us, don't we? Amen? It's the truth, isn't it? We don't have to be going out and taking care of anybody else. But then, if we would be asked, what do you think we ought to do? We ought to give what the Word of God says. Amen? What the Lord has been pleased to show us about the subject. You know, pastors do that sometimes. And I understand, the Lord being my helper, I'm not going to share the business of our church with any other man. I'm not going to tell about the detail of what we've going on in our church and what members are this, that, and the other. It's none of their business. It's our business and the Lord's business. The pastors will do that. Brother Jim, what do you think about this? Have you ever dealt with this? And so in a general sense, from the Word of God, I'll tell them. It could be that another church would inquire with our church and we would need to give an answer about a thing. But you know what? We can't command anybody to do anything. Jerusalem had no authority over the church at Antioch, did they? Now the apostles, they had authority from the Lord. As the apostle Paul writes the church at Corinth, for example, he's an apostle. He can tell them what God says, and he can rebuke them, reprove them. He can't chastise them, other than maybe a tongue lashing. But that's the job of the apostles. And then when they went off the scene, that part of that work was done. And even though our brethren are here that are in this church at Jerusalem that are apostles, I think they give us the example of how we should be. They had no authority, and they don't use strong language. Their sentence was, Brother James, that we trouble not them. They make a position of what they believe that they should do, and trouble not them which from the Gentiles are turned to God. Got a lot of hierarchy amongst religions in our day, don't we? And we just don't see it in the Scripture. Just don't see it. Dictation by higher authorities. And again, seems like always with that, the money card is played, which is sad. One more thing and we'll close. We want to take a look here. Not only are the Lord's churches independent and autonomous, but churches are to be separate from governments. There's to be no state church in our country. That's the stand of the government of our country, what it was founded on. No state-sanctioned or sponsored church. Now understand this, it doesn't mean our government is to be godless. It doesn't mean that our government is to be godless. Our government does well when men that fear God are statesmen, and we've lost that. We've got a bunch of politicians at hand, seemingly. But the church is to preach what God says, and those that are in authority in governments are to hear it, and hear it from as the Lord, not us. We're to tell what God says. Again, that's the reason our opinion is not what we should give out. In Matthew chapter 22, let's take a look here. Matthew 22. The Lord is questioned about giving tribute. And he says, give me a penny. He said, whose image is this on the penny? And he said, Caesar's. Verse 21 of Matthew 21. He said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. They have their place. And we know that government is indeed the second institution created by our Lord. Churches are to be separate from governments. No state church. We're not. If the government would come in and say, "Hey, Brother Jim, we want to put you on the federal payroll. We want to take care of your church." You know what that means, don't you? That means they want to tell us what to do and what not to do, and that's not to be. In this, the Lord's people are to be law-abiding citizens. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, we read in verse number 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Listen, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Hear that? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, the law, the declaration, the directive of God. And they that resist shall receive unto themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God. The government officials are the ministers of the Lord. So much greater their condemnation if they don't fill their ministry. Oh, but Brother Jim, they're so corrupt. They're getting away with it. No, they're not getting away with it. They're getting away for it here in time. But I tell you what, the judgment of the Lord for those that took their ministry and their appointment in the government, by however the system was, whether it be a king that appointed a steward or a republic, democracy like ours where we vote officials in, they are responsible. To whom much is given, much is required. And when the Lord brings it to judgment, I tell you what, You and I think that vengeance has only got, the vengeance has got to happen today for it to be right. I tell you what, our Lord will bring it up in that day, and it'll be more real than vengeance being poured out upon their head at the moment that they did what they did. God will reckon it, and men will stand in awe. So let us know that. We can rest in that as the people of God. He's a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. Yeah, the Lord says, the Word of God says he's got a weapon and he might hurt you with it or kill you with it if you are rebellious against the law, you and I. For he is the minister of God. That makes it really clear, doesn't it? A revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Don't badmouth the law in front of our children. And if the law be found guilty, as we know that they are, of misconduct, just like people are, then may we point it out that God says that what they've done is wrong and evil. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Again, the government are the ministers of the Lord. But Brother Jim, what about despots? What about wicked men and tyrants? And that they're appointed to the Lord. And praise be to God when you have good government. You know, bad government, and you can take a look at history, bad government... The reason bad government comes around is because the people have gone bad. That's the reason a people has bad government. So may the Lord help us in that. We're to obey the civil law only in the case where Christians may disobey the civil law, only in the case where they're compelled to disobey God's law. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 5 quickly. I know I'm keeping you a little long, but bear with me. We're almost there. Simply, our brethren here are called in by the leadership of the Jews. And for the nation of Israel, that was their civil and religious leadership all rolled up in one. They're subject to Rome in this day. But these words are what we need to grab a hold of. Verse 29 of Acts 5, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, they said, quit preaching. Quit preaching in the name of Jesus. Quit spewing out that doctrine, that teaching. Stop it. They answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So when the government, the civil government, causes us, oppresses us that we disobey God, we must obey our Lord. May he help us and disobey the law of the land. Again, we've mentioned there's not to be any state church, but we are not to be a godless people either. All right, we're going to close there for tonight. Next time, we're going to take a look about how churches, even though they are autonomous, can cooperate with other churches. Got a fine example of that up here on the front table with the support of missionaries.